Two Guys Weigh In podcast on the air once again, and with Paul Ramo and Mitchell Silty here. And Mitchell, what episode is this one?
This is episode 14.
And we haven't missed a week, have we?
I don't think so, nope.
14 weeks in a row since we started Two Guys Weigh In podcast.
Yep, it's been a lot of fun.
Part of Mitchell's internship here at the Q92 radio station. Before we go any farther, Two Guys Weigh In podcast.
Sponsored by PK Egan's and Canby.
And we thank Corinne and PK Egan staff and pizza.
Oh, yeah.
Gotta like pizza, right?
Absolutely.
PK's pizza, especially. Mm-hmm. Yep. Thanks for being a sponsor for our podcast. Hey, we got a special guest with us today, Mitchell.
Yep. We are joined with Bart Hill today.
Bart.
Greetings,
welcome
fellas.
To the podcast.
Thank you. I got to say something about PK Egan's. When I first started getting food from there, I thought it was Coke button fries. And I'm going like, it's weird. They make them out of Coke or what? You know, like a special ingredient. And I didn't know they were Coke button fries. And so
you thought it was Coke.
Yeah. Like they had to use Coca-Cola in their ingredient or something. So they taste good, though. I didn't care.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I have my wife's favorite coat button fries, too. So what else do you like at PK's?
Oh, I got to get the pizza. It can be pepperoni or Canadian bacon, but then you got to have the bacon pieces, the bacon
absolutely.
Bits. That's it. That's all I need. I'm not one of you guys, Paul, where you put everything on including there. The kitchen sink. That's way too much.
Except the anchovies. Anchovies ruins a pizza. Yeah. So. All right. Oh, good. So we all love PK's.
Yes, we do.
Pizza.
Yep.
All right. We got a lot of stuff to talk about today. A lot of things happening in the sports world, and we want to start. Well, we want to start with high school sports. Before we do that, Bart's our second guest. Did I say that?
I think so. Yeah.
Yep. And Brian McKean from Canby, our Viking expert. We're gonna have Brian in next week to talk about the Viking draft.
Yep. We'll do a recap of the Vikings draft and see if they have a chance this upcoming season and. Hopefully they do.
Brian has, over 25,000 followers on Twitter with his Vikologist or whatever he calls himself.
Yeah, I think it's more than that, but yeah, I'm pretty sure.
And he shared our podcast the other day, so that was nice of him to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So we kick it off high school sports, so it's Bart knows something about?
Absolutely.
You know, did you know this, Mitchell? Bart's a Hall of Famer.
Is he?
Yep, Hall of Famer, and what, a couple things, aren't you, Bart?
I had to fool someone, Mitch.
Yeah. So. baseball coaches?
Baseball 2017, yeah, baseball, High School Baseball Coaches Association.
Okay,
so. Let's put this up there a little
bit. Ready. Baseball Coaches Association, yes. That's right, yep. Yeah. And, I remember I was there for that.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
It was a lot of fun, wasn't it? How many years have you coached?
Oh, I was a head coach for 27 years. You know, I started coaching summer baseball, VFW baseball, when I was 17 years old, coached my brother's team, and have either done summer baseball or high school baseball ever since then until the last 2 years. You know, now I'm just kind of a bum.
Has it been different for you?
It's strange, definitely. When you do something for that long and then all of a sudden you're not doing it, you know, you get withdrawals like anything else. And, you know, I watch the games and imagine what I would do, whether it's the same or different, you know, and so it's kind of tough.
And if it's different, you get frustrated, right?
Yeah. Well, I have to tell you this. So the first time I did a broadcast with you, a game, I kept saying that, well, if it was me, this is what I would do. And then after probably three or four times of that, Julie texted me and said, it's not your team anymore. And she had to remind me that, yeah, who cares what I would do?
That's right.
So
Darby's doing a great job, though, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. What do we got, Mitch?
Oh, might as well jump right in with high school baseball. And as we talked about the Eagles, they're 5-0 now after yesterday's game. They played Tracy Milroy Ballaton, and that was in Milroy, was it?
Correct.
And that was a 5-0 win for the Eagles to go to 5-0, and they're sitting atop the conference standings for Camden right now, so nice. They're having a great season.
Geiser pitched a heck of a game.
Yeah, he threw a 7-inning shutout, just one walk, one hit. I think he had 9 strikeouts. He had a perfect game going through 3 innings, and I think we had an error. But, you know, he works fast. The game did not take very long, and he's just had a great year. You know, he missed his whole, you know, sophomore year just because of that knee injury. And so baseball is his love. He's going to play at North Dakota State School of Science, if I said the NDSSSS, yep. Whatever that is.
Danny Tucker Jr. played
yes,
football.
Yes, and that's where he's going to play college baseball. So he's pretty pumped up. But, yeah, what a great performance. And I tell you what, if you have not watched the Eagles yet, I would say they have the best offense in the section. They're fast. They steal bases. And they also have 6 legitimate pitchers, and for a high school baseball team, that's unheard of.
Mm.
I say, when I was looking at my, I because Bart and I are doing the game tomorrow night in Madison. That's McRae versus Lacaparo Valley. That will be April 25th at the time of recording. So we'll be calling that game. And I was doing my, you know, usual write-up for the stats on both teams. And I think Lacaparo, as of right now, averages just under 12 runs a game, and they only give up about 2 runs a game. So
that's why they're 5-0.
They're 5-0, and they have a lot of seniors and a lot of juniors. I think they've got seven seniors and about another 8 juniors on the roster.
Yeah, they really have an experienced team. Most of them played last year, and so you know, they're gonna throw in McRae. That'll be an interesting game because I think they're like 4-2 or 4-3. But in
were
my
they section champs last year?
No, that was Wyoming. Wyoming was.
And so I feel like in the north half, it's going to come down to us and Dawson Boyd as the top two teams. They'll get the top two seeds. I really believe that just based on the amount of experience back in the pitching. So, you know, it's all going to unfold here in the next couple of weeks. We'll know a little bit more, but early on, that's what I would say is going to happen.
So you and I, Paul, we were covering Dawson Boyd yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Great game.
23rd. Central Minnesota Christian at Dawson Boyd, and Dawson's having a great season. They're 4-1 right now after yesterday, and so their one loss was to Border West, and so they're having a great season for them too.
And thanks for reminding me that we almost saw immaculate inning again last night, didn't we?
I think so.
First inning, Fusi from Central Minnesota Christian.
No, you're not going to get that out of your mind, Paul.
I said that last night on the broadcast, Bart.
I think he had, I think it was 3 strikeouts in
13 pitches.
So it was darn close.
And he had, he had 1 3-pitch strikeout.
Well, the next inning, he only threw 4 pitches.
Yep, 4 pitches. It was two of them were first pitch hits, or, you know, they grounded out and then threw 1 pitch, and then it was another ground out. So 4 pitches, and that's always nice.
That's one thing I learned this year. It's huge. I did not never heard of immaculate inning, Bart. Why don't you tell our listeners what that is?
So basically, you have to get all 3 outs via strikeouts.
This is the pitcher
in
now.
9 pitches. So you strike 1-2-3, strike 1-2-3, strike 1-2-3, and the 3 batters sit down all in strikeouts, which is hard to do. Because you would think the odds are that you're going to throw a ball in there at one point, or they might even foul one off at one point. But it's 9 straight pitches, 9 straight strikes, and 3 straight outs.
That was one thing, Paul, and I wanted to ask you. Is there a term for when a pitcher just throws 3 balls and gets 3 outs like that in an inning? Or is that just what it's called, 3 balls, 3 outs? Or
that's a good question. So I'll have to look that up. I don't know.
What do you mean, Mitchell?
So, like, if you throw through 3 pitches, you throw a pitch and then someone pops it up or
like
flies
Wesley with Wesley last night, the Central Minnesota Christian pitcher.
Fusi,
he threw 4 pitches and got the 3 outs. So if he used 1 pitch per batter and got 3 outs and 3 pitches.
I will try to research that. That is a good question.
That was Kaya Alderson from RTR that had that immaculate inning against Lacaparo, I think it was.
Yep, Lacaparo.
So that was... I learned something. I like learning things. And Bart texts me right away. That's immaculate inning. I thought, what's this joke? Is it
didn't
a miracle?
Believe me right away.
Must be a miracle. But that's cool. All right. Yeah. Dawson's got a good team. How's McRae? What's McRae got?
McRae's 4-3.
Okay.
They're coming off a win versus Lakeview. I think they won that one 16-2.
Yeah. It'll just be interesting to see. I try to look back last year of the amount of seniors or returning lettermen they have. And, you know, early on, before the season even started, when I wrote about it in the paper, I figured it would be Dawson and Lacaparo just because they returned the most starters from last year, and they both had, you know, good teams.
Okay. Let's talk softball a little bit. We've done a couple softball games.
Yeah, we called the RTR at Lacaparo softball game opener earlier this year, and then we called Benson at Dawson Boyd in softball, and that was a good game for us.
And this is where a play came in. RTR girl slid in home plate. Dawson catcher definitely tagged her out. The home plate umpire said, "You're out." And then the base umpire comes in, and they talk for a little bit, and then they decided she's safe because the base umpire said the glove came off the catcher. I mean, after she tagged her out, her glove fell off her hand. But the ball stayed in the glove, I believe.
I think so.
Yeah, and they called her safe. I never seen that
which
before.
Is really weird because if your glove falls off and the ball's in there, say you reach up against a fence or something like that, or I don't know, maybe that's not a good example, but you can literally pick up your glove with a ball in it and tag somebody and they're out.
Yep.
You know, so that was another reason why I didn't understand why they reversed that call.
And if the ball fell out of her glove, then she would be safe?
Yeah.
Okay. That would make sense, but if it's still in the glove.
There have been instances where the ball got stuck in the glove, and they've thrown the glove to the base to get them out. So.
Exactly. That's a good point.
All right. Yeah, I got some good softball teams, good softball being played in the area. La Caprile Valley doing very well. Mineota Canby doing very well. Yeah. Dawson Boyd, they got a really good team. Allie Essling's pitching well.
I think La Caprile, La Caprile lost their first two games, and then I think they've won their last, is it three or four games they've had, and they're 3-2, 4-2 right now.
They played two of the best teams that probably are in the section, you know, two of the top, I'd say four teams in the section, and a really good pitcher. So
good. All right. What else we got? Track. They got the Nibby invite coming up on Thursday, this Thursday, the 25th. First ever Dave Nibby track invite out of La Caprile Valley. The Nibby family putting that on. Dave's a longtime track coach in Madison and La Caprile, so that's good.
I had the honor of writing an article about Dave Nibby and the Nibby Family Foundation. You know, it started with his son Jay Nibby and his daughter Dawn Nibby. They got together. They're both retiring, and they wanted something to do in their retirement, so they started that family foundation, the Nibby Family Foundation. It's so amazing how many things they're doing for individual scholarships for kids going to school, teacher scholarships, study abroad scholarships. They're giving money to schools to purchase library books and all kinds of things. It's just really impressive what they do. But they know that, you know, their dad being a long-time teacher and counselor and coach, they wanted to honor him too, and that's how that whole track meet got started. And so it sounds like there'll be a lot of alumni and former teachers that worked with Dave out at the high school tomorrow. I think, does it start at 4 o'clock?
Four o'clock.
So, you know, if you're not at the baseball game in town or you're not in the field, if you want to come out, and, you know, Dave is going to be there. You know, he's fallen on some hard times with his health, but the family said they will get him there, and, you know, he'll get to talk to some people, and you know, it's really going to be an impressive thing. I know the Nibby Family Foundation is going to provide T-shirts for the kids, and they're going to have a hospitality tent for the coaches and stuff. So just a lot of cool things. And they're hoping to make it an annual thing now.
Yep. Good things happening, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Dave was my basketball coach, B-Squad basketball coach, when I was in Madison, and track coach.
Well.
You know, I did track and baseball at the same time. So
you probably ran right from the track and stole second base, and then
actually where the Madison. Yeah, well, the track used to be. You know, the track used to be where them apartments are behind the baseball field. Now
that's right.
So you just go over there, throw my baseball uniform on, get in the batter's box, and bat.
There you go.
Then take my baseball uniform off, put my track uniform on, go run the 100-yard dash.
That's impressive.
Yeah,
that is impressive.
But then I ran a 100-yard dash.
I did say that.
That's the truth. I was a sprinter. You can't tell that by looking at me now, but I was a sprinter. So golf is going on. Boy, I tell you, there's a battle going on between the Dawson Boyd girls and the La Caprile Valley girls.
And then you throw in Bold. I think, is Bold in our section as well?
I think so. Yep.
That is a three-headed monster because they're all good. Yep. And yeah, you start watching the scores. Holy buckets, it's so close.
Yeah, I think this past week, La Caprile edged Dawson Boyd by a stroke. Mm-hmm. And then the tournament on Tuesday in Marshall, Dawson Boyd beat La Caprile Valley by 10 strokes. Dawson Boyd took first place in Marshall this past week. La Caprile second. Molly Halverson's golfing great. How about Kate Alstead the other night? Shot an 88, her personal best. Wow. I think she had seventh place or something like that.
That is good.
For Kate Alstead, so as a big milestone for her. So.
I can do an 88, but generally that's in nine holes. But
yeah.
Well, Mitchell was a golfer on the La Caprile State boys
there
team.
You go.
I wasn't that good, though.
You were on the team, though. You counted, right?
Sometimes I did count, but...
How many times you go to state?
I was just on there for one time. That was my sophomore year.
Okay, yeah, I remember that real well. Exactly. Actually, someone just showed us your picture on their Facebook memory page.
Mm-hmm,
Missy did.
Yep, Missy. Yeah.
5 years ago in Ortonville. You guys took first place in the tournament there. So, yeah, a lot of good golf going on. Carson Bessenen, Lockparl boys golf team, doing well. And the boys are Dawson Boyd boys. Camby boys are doing well. Jack Abrahamson for Camby, taking first place a lot in a lot of these meets. So
that's awesome. A lot of good athletes, and as we know, and you've covered sports a lot longer than I have in this area, there are just a lot of good athletes in this area and a lot of sports. There is.
And before we leave high school sports, Saturday I'll be broadcasting my first boys volleyball match out at Lockparl Valley. Lockparl Valley will be taking on Dawson Boyd around 12:30, give or take a half hour. So we'll have that match for you on Q92, and I was at both practices. I was at Dawson Boyd practices this week, and Brayson Boyk, 6'7", is at the net. So,
oh, wow.
Yep, we'll see what happens.
That's intimidating.
It is.
Holy buckets.
So, yeah, good things happening out at Lockparl on Saturday. It starts at 10 o'clock. Wilmer Community Christian boys volleyball team will be there. Dawson Boyd and Lockparl Valley. Those are some of the boys teams in the west part of the state here trying to – Minnesota High School League made it a sport, a spring sport. Hasn't really caught on outstate Minnesota yet, but in the metro area, it's huge. They got a lot of teams, so – another spring sport.
Yep.
So, all right. Anything else on high school? You got anything, Bart?
I'm good. You covered it all.
Okay. Before we talk college and pro here, we've asked Bart to come in here because, you know, he kind of does double duty. Sometimes he broadcasts with us and works for the Western Guard. And we want to talk about the improvements at the Madison Ball Field. A lot of things going on. Bart, you retired from teaching, but I think you're more busy now than you've ever been.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I don't say no a lot, so I'm on more committees than I've ever been on before. But you just find other things to do, I guess. So someone once told me that if you're going to plan on sitting in a couch in retirement, you will become part of the couch.
Yep.
You know, so, and that makes a lot of sense.
That's right. Well, you do a great job writing the sports articles in the Western Guard newspaper. How do you like doing that? Is it something new for you?
It's fun, and I don't have a deadline as far as, you know, Adam gives me the freedom to write whatever I want, whenever I want. And here's usually what happens. I'll be sitting, I can't sleep. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm thinking about a million things. I'm going like, that's kind of funny. I should just start writing something about that. And I'll literally go on my computer and start typing away, and I'll send it to Adam. I go, sorry, it's so early in the morning, but what do you think of this? And he goes, I'll love it. I'll print it, you know. So there you
awesome.
Go.
So you do awesome. A lot. Where do you get all your research from? Where you get the results from all the coaches?
Yeah. So then for the high school sports, yeah, they're usually really, really good. They send you, like, for example, and you get the same thing from Coach Bjorgan. He sends us a copy or picture of the scorebook and stuff. And so, and baseball is pretty easy because then you can see how everyone scored and who got hits and things like that. There's other more challenging sports like tennis. You know, you just get the results of who beat who, but you really don't know how the tennis match goes. And Austin Ireland is a funny guy, and I keep telling Adam, remind him he's got to have some quotes, because when he does have quotes, they're pretty hilarious. So
he likes the coaches show.
Call the team the Black Eagles because it's the Black Jacks or the Eagles.
Or the Bad Boys.
Or the Bad Boys. Yeah. So it's pretty comical. So, yeah. And so, like, for the most part, I get a lot of the information. And then, you know, I have to go online and figure out who they're playing, what their record was, and different things like that. But so.
Good. And, you know, let's talk about the improvements at the Madison Memorial Baseball Field. Mitchell and I broadcast the first ever game there up the new press box. Mitch, what you think about it?
That was a great press box. Plenty of room up there. It was you, me broadcasting. Bart was running the scoreboard, and then Dick Newman was running the PA system, and there was plenty of room for all four of us up there. And we even had a couple of visitors standing behind us while we were broadcasting. And
that's because it was warm.
they had a heater in there, too.
We did.
The heater was working, and it's wired for air conditioning, too, I hear.
We will be putting up air conditioning sometime here before summer. So
a lot of people, that's a huge community effort going on down there. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so, you know, it started out, you know, after that derecho storm, it'll be 2 years here in May. And, you know, we had talked about it for a five-year plan of doing some renovations because, you know, the old grandstand was built in 1950, by the way, and it was crumbling and it needed to go, but it was such a big cost item. Well, once the storm hit and took out the lights and part of the dugouts and the batting cage, and all of a sudden it cracked the foundation more, so it was leaking more, we really couldn't use anything. I don't know if you remember that first summer, we were not even allowed to go on the field until probably the second week in July. So I think we played two or three games there, and that was about it. And so it was a brainstorming idea. What do we want? We had Colby Jadeau Dufsky is an engineer, and he drew up the plans for us. And we said, all right, how are we going to fundraise this? And we went out and talked to businesses and individuals, and within 6 weeks, we probably had $250,000 raised.
Wow.
It was just crazy. And, you know, we don't know the final cost of everything because not everything is done. I would say it's 90% done, but we just had some extremely big donors, and, you know, you can't thank them enough. But like they said, they love watching baseball. It's a part of our community, and they wanted to make sure that's going to keep on going for years to come.
Yeah, it's a really nice. It's going to be and a lot to do yet. It's not really finished.
Yeah. We have a lot of the little, I would say, like the trim work of all the stuff, you know, including the field and other things. So, but, you know, the city of Madison has been so great to helping us out. And I always give Todd Earp a hard time because, you know, I'll call him or text him, and I'm sure it's like, what does the baseball guy want now or need now? But they've helped us out immensely as well, too.
I know in the summer last year it was very successful. What do they call it? Merchant Chamber Night or
Chamber
something?
Night Out.
Chamber Night Out. And that was huge success last year. I know it's planned again this year.
Correct.
And maybe things will be done by then and really have a kind of grand opening type
and we're going to play Dawson, and the plan is to play the amateur game after like a 7th and 8th grade game. And, you know, last year there were so darn many people down there. Boy, they ran out of the ice cream. We ran out of food, everything, which is a good problem. So hopefully it'll be the same kind of atmosphere. But, you know, it's great playing Dawson because they're so close. And if they bring two teams, that's just a lot more people that'll be down there.
That'll be fun. Looking forward to that. Yeah, we'll be broadcasting those games on the radio. So.
Yeah, great.
All right. You do a great job on the field. If you drive by on Highway 40 there, you look at how green the infield, the field is. And it's just, you do a great job manicuring the put a lot of hours into that.
I do.
So yeah, you should come over and do my lawn.
I should get to my lawn.
All right. Well, Mitch, you're our college and pro expert here. Lead us on in the next segment here.
Well, for college, a couple quick notes of the Gophers. Gophers women's golfer Isabella McCauley won a share of the Big Ten title this year after she entered the final round in 18th place. She shot 8-under 64 on the final day and end up winning a share of the Big Ten title for the Gophers. The first time in a long time, I think, that they won a share of the women's Big Ten title. And then,
have you ever attended a Big Ten golf meet?
I have not.
Since you're a golfer?
Nope.
Okay, none nearby. So.
Nope. I haven't attended. I don't think I've attended any golf meets before. Okay. So it would be interesting to try.
Just the ones you were in, huh?
Yep, just the ones I was in. And then the tournaments over the summer with various things. But other than that, and then another one, Joe Alt, played his college football at Notre Dame, but he is from Totino Grace. And so his dad, I believe, was drafted in the pros a couple of years earlier. And so Joe Alt is going to go to the draft this year, and he's looking to be a top tackle prospect and probably taken in one of the top 10 picks. So
what position did he play?
Tackle.
Tackle, okay. So he's in the NFL draft this year.
Yep.
Okay.
He'll hear his name called early on Thursday night, so that'll be good. And then for the couple of Gophers players in the NFL draft this year, I think Chris Ottman-Bell, our wide receiver, is in there. He's had injuries over the past couple of years, so I'm not sure if he'll be drafted over the weekend. Okay. But our tight end, Brevin Spann Ford, he's one of the better tight ends in the draft this year, and so I think he could be a later draft pick. But
he is a big individual.
He is a big individual.
He's pretty athletic.
And so we've had quite a few good tight ends at Minnesota over the years. And then our probably our best prospect, and I think he might even go round one, Tyler Newbin, our safety, is going to the draft as one of our top prospects.
You think
prospects.
He'll go round one?
There's been talks. I think it'll be a late round one, possibly early round two he'll go. But, definitely our best prospect this year. That about wraps it up for college sports for me this time.
All right, you got anything college things off the top of your
head? We're just talking about, technically not college anymore, but Caitlin Clark, you know, just signed that $28 million deal with Nike. And I think she's the highest paid WNBA player as far as endorsements. Here's the ironic thing is she's only going to make $73,000 this year as far as her salary goes for the WNBA.
For playing
basketball?
That's her
first year salary. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they don't make anything. That's why a lot of them go overseas and play two seasons back to back.
I think what was her contract was like $300,000 or something like that over 4 years or something.
It's just nuts.
Well, she signed with Nike then?
Yep.
Yes.
With Nike, it was an 8-year, $28 million deal, I believe. Okay. So.
Yeah. Let's talk small college. I just thought of this. Bart, your son is on the coaching staff, isn't he?
Yeah, he's up at Alec Tech. They started a college team last year. He's a pitching coach, and we've got a really good team and a good chance to go far. We'll see what happens, but it kind of fell into his lap. It wasn't something he set out to do, but he knew some guys in the area he's working some baseball clinics with, and the position opened up. He applied, and he got it. So
nice.
We've been down there to probably watch him three or four different times, and the head coach really is pretty impressed with him, so that's good.
That's my alma mater, Alec Tech.
There you go.
Yeah, but they didn't have any of the sports. They had flag football. I remember that. We always had to play the police academy guys, and they whipped us.
Well, you don't want to make them look bad. They'll arrest you.
Mm-hmm.
Where'd you go to college?
I was at Morris, University of Minnesota. Okay,
did
Morris.
Did you play sports, sir?
I did not. Okay. So that's a story for another day.
Do you always regret that?
I do.
Yep. Trying to not walk on or something?
Yeah, I do regret that. So, but.
Okay. I think we covered college there, didn't we?
Yep.
Okay.
We got touched on the pros real quick. Twins baseball.
Why? Why do you want to talk about
that? The roller coaster that is Twins baseball.
They have won the last two games.
They have beat
recording
the
here.
White Sox, who are probably one of the worst teams in the American League.
Oakland.
But Max Kepler came back this week. They're 9-13. And then I watched them last night after the Timberwolves game. We'll get to the Timberwolves a little bit later, but they were down 5-4 going into the bottom of the ninth. Buxton hit a solo home run to tie it up, and then was it Wallner or Kirilloff?
Kirilloff hit the game winner. Yep.
He hit a RBI single.
For a walk-off?
Yep, for a walk-off win for the Twins, so that was a fun one to watch last night after the Timberwolves. And so the upcoming series, I think they got White Sox one more game.
Okay.
And then their next series is versus the Angels, Los Angeles Angels. And so hopefully they can get to 500.
Huh? So when you talk about the Twins, they're known for penny pitching, which just drives you up a tree. So last year they win a division. They win the first round of the playoffs. They have more excitement generated going into the offseason than they, and I probably since the World Series days. So they get rid of Sonny Gray, who was one of their top pitchers last year because they didn't want to pay him. So he's currently got a 1.04 ERA. Wouldn't that look nice on our team?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then they always draft the...
Who's he pitching for?
Is he with the Cardinals?
Yeah, yes, the Cardinals. And so then, so you just look at, they always try to get these free agent guys. So last year is Chris Paddock, and he didn't even pitch because he had arm problems. So he looked good this start this year, but you lose him for a whole year. Then they got Daniel Duarte. He had elbow surgery, did not throw an inning. He's done for the year. They got that Anthony DeSclafani. He had elbow surgery. He's done for the year.
Good
so that's their big signings. They didn't even throw one single pitch, and they're done for the year. So, wouldn't Sonny Gray look great? So
well, DeSclafani, I think he was a part of a trade package for, was it
Polanco.
Jorge Polanco this year?
Yes.
I don't even know who the starting pitcher is we got. For, I don't remember
no,
who it is.
We got three or four players, and I don't think one of them is on the active roster. So it's just so frustrating.
Yep,
so it's just kind of been a buzzkill.
Yep.
You know, they just lost all the momentum.
Really hoped for another Pablo Lopez type trade, but that fell through. And I don't even think Pablo Lopez is off to that good of a start this year. Either.
No. Well, that mostly because their offense is horrible.
Yeah. Without Royce Lewis, it's.
Yes.
And Carlos Correa is out too. Yeah, so it's.
That's a shame.
Well, we'll see what happens. It's a long season. Anything can happen. So are they in the weakest division in baseball, you think?
Oh, probably. Yeah. The Royals aren't in anything good. The Sox are bad. The Tigers, I don't know.
Yep.
Cleveland dealt with a lot of injuries last year, so you know they were going to be good. They're leading division, but you know, it's now.
All right, let's finish. What else?
Yep, the last thing we'll probably touch on is the Timberwolves.
Well, we got to talk about the NFL draft.
Yeah. I suppose we got to talk about the draft.
Well, we can talk about Timberwolves.
But brief touch on the Timberwolves. Last night, they go up
2-0
against the Suns. And they won 25 points in game one. And then last night, they went into halftime down one. And they ended up pulling away in the late third quarter and then finished it in the fourth quarter. And so that was nice to see the Timberwolves go up 2-0. I think when people found out they had to play the Suns, they were hoping to at least be 1-1 by the time they go back to Phoenix. But this is looking really good for the Timberwolves, something we haven't seen in a really long time.
Okay, my personal opinion. This is my personal opinion. I don't like watching the NBA. I haven't for the last few years. But when it comes playoff time, I'll watch.
Yeah, definitely.
But I won't watch regular season. Well, but
here's the fact for the, us that like watching the Timberwolves and been loathing for years. They have not won a playoff series since 2004. Jeez. And you'd probably remember, you know, they had Latrell Sprewell and Sam Cassell and Kevin Garnett, Wally Zerbiak. And they made it to the you know, Western Conference Finals, and they got, I think, beat 4-3, and that's as close as they got going to the NBA Finals.
Yep.
And now this year they got an exciting team. They got some good young players. You know, but the West is so loaded, it's going to be a dogfight each day and, you know, each game.
Yep, I think they'll have to probably go through Denver if they do win this series, which is a pretty big if, knowing the Timberwolves and Minnesota sports. But
but the other thing is, you know, they've got Chris Finch is in the finals for the Coach of the Year, Naz Reid for the Sixth Man of the Year, and Rudy Gobert for the Defensive Player of the Year. And in all reality, they should all three win. I don't know if they will or not, but that's pretty impressive.
And that's one thing with the Timberwolves. I think I've heard him say that they have the number one defense in the NBA this year, and as the saying goes, defense wins championships.
That's right. That's Bud Grant always said.
Yep.
When did the Timberwolves come to Minnesota? When did they start up?
It was the Lakers. It was the Minneapolis.
Well, no,
we lost them.
And then they went to Los Angeles.
Early 90s?
Late
80s?
Well, the Lakers.
Well, we could Google it, I suppose.
The Lakers
doing our podcast.
The Lakers, I think, were in Los Angeles about the 60s.
Yep.
'60s, I think, because Jerry West was there and Will Chamberlain.
Sid Hartman owned the Lakers back then in Minneapolis. But I got to tell you my quick
1989,
because I remember my very first Timberwolves game. I was so excited. Brought my son with, and my good friend Dan Tuckett came with. Well, I don't think a lot of people know this, but the Timberwolves actually played, I think, their first two seasons in the Metrodome. And that's my first Timberwolves game was at the Metrodome. We sat in the upper deck, and it looked like little ants running around out there. That's how far away we were. And so that was my first game. So, yeah, I've gone to a number of Timberwolves games over the years. Bart, I think Michaela Erickson works in the Timberwolves front office.
She does.
Doesn't
so
she?
If you, the Erickson family is always down there going to games, and you know.
And Isaac
I like
Poland
them.
Does too.
Me.
Or what's that?
I said I like them. They could invite me.
Isaac Hennon from Minnesota. Remember him, the good football player. He's on the Timberwolves staff too.
That's so awesome. What's well, exciting time to be part of the Timberwolves?
What did you say, Michaela? Gets you tickets?
No, I said I like their family. They could get me tickets. They're nice people.
Yeah.
I got to have the Timberwolves get a little better before I go basketball.
You think they'll win the series with Phoenix?
I think they'll win the series with Phoenix, but it will be a serious battle when they play Denver. Although the Lakers have given Denver a little.
No.
I mean.
I don't want the Lakers.
No, I don't think the Lakers aren't going to win. It's probably going to be a 4 or 5-game series for Denver to start out. I don't know if the Timberwolves can. I think they've played Denver.
They match
tough.
Up well with Denver.
Yep.
Well, they do.
That could probably be the best series of the entire playoffs if those two teams match up against each
other. Nice. Let's wrap it up with the NFL draft.
Tomorrow night, Thursday, April 25th, NFL draft. Bart and I will have to keep our phones on so that we can keep updates while we're calling the game. And
I'm going media blackout. I'm going to tape it and watch it live, so Mitch, you cannot tell me.
I can't. Well, I'll have to keep it to myself then.
It on the radio.
I gotta know what's the Vikings are. I got to know if I need to be excited or if I should
could
just
text you guys because I'm going to be at U.S. Bank
do not
Stadium.
Text me.
I'm going to be at U.S. Bank Stadium for the NFL draft, the Viking draft party. I'm really looking forward to that.
The draft starts at 7 o'clock?
7 o'clock. Yeah, the doors open at 6 at U.S. Bank.
I guess there's a chance that we could be done with the baseball game and home, hopefully, if all goes according to plan. But, it'll be
what are they going to do, Bart?
They're going to do some wheeling and dealing and try to get J.J. McCarthy, but I don't know how they're going to do it without giving up the farm. You know, they draft 11th, and, you know, they've got 2 first-round picks. But, you know, the top 3 teams all need a quarterback. Then I think it goes to, was it Arizona? They do not need a quarterback, so I would guess they'll take Marvin Harrison, you know, Jr. And then after that, it's a crapshoot. Who knows?
So it was interesting. There have been mock drafts that say the Vikings need to trade up for J.J., and then there have been mock drafts that say they could sit at 11 and take J.J. So it'll be interesting.
I think Brian McKean, our Viking expert, thinks they're going to draft up to get
He says, this is what you told me yesterday that he said to you. He said that They are, well, he said it's pretty much a done deal that with the Vikings are going to trade for the third overall pick with New England.
Yep.
They'll probably sell him the farm, which is something I'm not wanting them to do, but they probably will because they're the Vikings. And they will take Drake May at number three.
Interesting.
And so, I mean, I personally would rather them take Drake May over JJ just because, I don't know, I didn't see enough from JJ in the college season to... Because they're predominantly just, running football team.
He didn't have to do much.
It'll be interesting.
If Drake May is such a great college quarterback, what was his record this year? What was their record? They had like 5-6 losses.
They're basing it off of potential and the talent that he displayed. They're not taking into account how their defense was or how great the players were around him. But
well, what I'm saying is if you can't lead a college team into winning if he's supposed to be so good.
Well, no, but the college team didn't have JJ Justin Jefferson as a receiver
The downfall of college, you know, sports or whatever, they don't, you know, the pros look at it and go like, those college coaches don't know what they're doing. We're the pros. We can make them into what we want them to do. Remember Troy Williamson or Williams, our receiver we drafted that one year?
Yeah.
He was the fastest guy in the NFL. And he couldn't catch. He had the most drops in college football. But they said, we can teach him how to catch a ball. And I'm going like, for 4 years, nobody taught him how to catch a ball. He only lasted 3 years in the NFL because he could not catch a ball.
I remember that. Now that you mentioned that. That's true. You got to have some talent.
So here's a trivia. I don't know if you'd know this. Mitch, well, maybe he does. He's a stat guy. Who is the Vikings' only ever overall number one draft pick?
Oh, I read it up the other day.
Dante Culpepper?
No, he wasn't a number one overall.
No, pick. And I knew it, but I didn't know the year. It was Ron Yeary in 1968.
Yeah,
he became a Hall of Fame lineman.
What year was that?
1968. They had the overall number one pick and picked Ron Yeary, a lineman.
Yep.
But he was a Hall of Famer, so it was kind of
fun. Was he the first pick in the draft?
He was the first
pick. The number one overall pick.
It's the only time the Vikings owned the first pick of the draft.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Well, I know they gave the farm away with Herschel Walker.
They
draft.
Did. And that worked out well for Dallas.
They haven't recovered from that one.
I say that
worked out really well for Dallas.
I guess that's one silver lining that you can look at for the Vikings is they've never been that bad that they've owned multiple number one picks, which I guess you could look at that as a positive or a negative. But
we were talking about just the quarterbacks the Vikings have drafted in the first round that actually went on to play for them. They haven't drafted very many, but I had to go back and find Tommy Kramer in 1977. Mm-hmm. They drafted him in the first round, and he had a good career. I mean, 24,000 yards passing, 159 TDs. But there's only three more behind him that were in the first round, and they were all – Dante Culpepper was okay, but then they got rid of him, and he got injured. And then you've got Christian Ponder, Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, they're just not very good. So we really did a lot more missing than hitting in NFL quarterbacks with the Vikings.
Our better quarterbacks that we've had is when we were looking for free agents or I mean, if you look, we had Brett Favre in 2009,
Randall Cunningham.
Well, they got Darnold, don't they? For this year. I think that's a sleeper. He could be okay. Get him out of their the situation that Darnold was in.
I think it'll be interesting for Sam Darnold. I think he could be a serviceable backup. But
A starter.
Well,
depends on who they get, if they get their man and what happens with them, but
it'll be fun.
I mean, I guess I'd rather have Sam Darnold than Zach Wilson right now. So,
What else you got there, Bart?
Well, I was just looking at some of their draft picks that went on to be in the Hall of Fame.
Who's that?
Obviously, like Randy Moss was in the Hall of Fame. The Purple People Eaters, Carl Eller, Alan Page, they're both in the Hall of Fame. You know, so they did make some good draft choices over the years, but just not in the quarterback department.
I think was Fran Tarkenton a third round pick? I believe was when he was drafted.
The Vikings drafted Tarkenton, huh?
Yeah. Yep, and he was. I think he's been he was the best quarterback that the Vikings have
ever
had.
He still gets talked about. They compare Patrick Mahomes a lot to him because Fran Tarkenton was doing those things that Patrick Mahomes does now.
I remember him well. He took him twice to the Super Bowl. Yeah.
Didn't win any of them.
No, don't bring up that.
I got a shirt just one time before I die.
I bought the same one at the fair.
I'm actually going to wear it tomorrow night for the draft party.
I got a
Ramo Viking jersey I'm wearing too, so I'll be decked out in my purple tomorrow. I'm looking forward to that draft party. I've never been to a draft party before.
It'll be interesting because if they draft in the third or if they draft the third pick, that'll be it. That'll be a very short draft party.
Because they have no second round picks, right?
Nope.
So there you go.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see where all them quarterbacks end up, though.
It will. Sure.
All right, Bart, thanks for being on the podcast today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We'll do this again.
We should have done this at PK Egan's, by the way.
Next time we can do it at PK Egan's. That'll work.
Actually, we did that 2 weeks ago. We were at PK Egan's, weren't we?
Yep.
It's close to the playoffs, and we'll talk about playoffs and eat some pizza.
Playoffs.
And coat button fries, not Coke.
That's a good one. Coke button fries.
Now I want button fries.
All right. There we go. Another podcast, Mitch.
Yep. This has been the Two Guys Weigh In Podcast, episode number 14. And the Two Guys Weigh In Podcast, sponsored by PK Egan's of Canby.